Thank you, group, for your time and your efforts. I think that was probably the best that I've heard since you've been doing it. Y'all did an awesome job today, and I really appreciate that. And, you know, two factors. One, you worked on it, and two, God gave you the ability to do it, and that's why it became so beautiful. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to look at several passages of Scripture, but the first one we want to look at is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform to any of the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing, perfect." Commit to a lifestyle of worship and holy actions. As we think about that tonight, we think about these things. Number one, being a living sacrifice. When we talk about that, we have people called bodyguards. They did a movie not too long, or several years ago, about the bodyguard. But we have bodyguards that stand around our president, and their job is to protect him at any cost, which means if they know that something is going to come to him, if somebody is going to shoot him, and there's a bullet that's coming to him, they are willing to take that bullet for the president. That is how much they are committed to being there, being a sacrifice for him. Now, as we think about that, Jesus Christ also is our bodyguard, and he is willing to take a bullet for us too, isn't he? He is willing to sacrifice, and he did sacrifice his life. So when you think of what he has done for us, is that too much for us to be asked of from him? To lead a living sacrifice. Now, when I think of sacrifices, what do you think about that? In the Old Testament, the priests would offer lambs. They had all of these different things they did, and people would have to bring, and they would kill these lambs, these goats, these pigeons, and these types of things. And what he is simply saying in the New Testament is we need to kill ourselves of our old nature. We need to just get rid of it. Get rid of it and bring in that new nature that he called. We need to kill ourselves. We need to sacrifice. And that word sacrifice means to give it completely away. It's no longer ours. And if we can take that sin in our life, if we can take that thing that's not ideally perfect to God and get rid of it, then we can do it. In Romans 6:13, he says, "Do not let any part of your body become a total weaknesses, but use for sinning. Instead, give yourself completely to God, since you have been given new life, and use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God." So you see, he's not talking about just our worship, but he's talking about our bodies. It's supposed to be that too. Now, when we get into that, we're really getting picky now, and I probably will sound like I'm picky, but every one of us in here sin on that. If we're not taking care of our bodies physically, then we're sinning against God. If we're not using it for his glory, then we're sinning. God wants us to live a holy lifestyle so that when people look at us, they can go, "Wow, that's what Jesus looks like. That's what Jesus looks like." Is that what they see in us today? Is that what people see in us? They see what Jesus looks like? In worldly habits, you may hear something like this: "Lord, use my life while I'm still here to show this world what you really look like." Can you imagine if we took that as a theme? Secondly, for the glory of God, Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do, whether in the word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now, I know people that have come to church to worship God, and I've asked them how they're doing, and they began to give me this long list of things that were wrong. And when they left, their worship was not much different. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, in other words, it doesn't matter what you say, your actions, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's calling us to do. Everything, whether it's singing, preaching, whether it's going to school, whether it's working on the job, whatever it does, we are to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't stop there. And it says, giving thanks to God the Father. Do we give Him that thanks? Everything we do, everything needs to reflect God. The way we talk, the way we act, the people we hang out with, the TV we watch, the music we listen to, everything should glorify God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, you must do it for the glory of God. Now tonight they have sung several songs with glory. And we are going to see another one at the end that will really talk to us. And I hope when you listen to the words, when you hear these words, and when you see them on the screens, you can begin to see what they mean. God is watching us. He is watching you. He is watching me. Not just when we're in church, but everywhere we're at. Everywhere, whether it's at the grocery store, whether it's at the gym, whether it's at band camps or football camps or whatever, God is watching us. The world should see Him in us. And once we decide this is something that we want, that's what we want is God. When we decide that, we need to spend time with Him and in His presence. In just a few minutes, we're going to sing I Can Only Imagine. Now, that's one of my favorite songs. It's not the favorite, but it's one. But as you listen to those words, you begin to really think, what is heaven going to be like? Have you ever thought about that? What is heaven really going to be like? I can only imagine, can't you? So listen to these words in just a minute, but think of it right now. Psalms 23, God inhabits our praise. So if you want God to hang out with you all day long, praise Him all day long. Live a life of worship. Whenever you're praising and worship God all day long, whenever something comes along, it seems like it's just a piece of cake then, doesn't it? It's not as hard. And the most awesome thing about Christian life is that as you stay holy and pure, God begins to open up more of Himself to you. I can remember when Angie and I first dated, there was this look about her that just caught my attention. And I kind of caught her attention. And we began to do things. And as we began to do things, our life began to open up to one another. We began to share about one another, what our life dreams were, what our paths were, and those types of things. And we found ourselves being drawn to closer to one another. And now we're both an open book to each other. And this is what God is doing. He is opening up. Number three, know thou thing. Psalms 101, verse 3, I will set before my eyes no vile things. The deeds of unfaithfulness men I hate. I will not cling to me. They will not cling to me. David is saying, I'm going to put anything that is not acceptable to God away from me. I am going to take it away, period. The World Changers uses this phrase, I refuse to even accidentally allow any vile, disgusting thing in my life. That includes TV, that includes where we're at, where we hang out, what movies, magazines, anything. Fourthly, make a radical commitment. This word radical is something we don't like to use, and a lot of people don't even like to consider Jesus as radical. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:23, everything is permissible, but everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. By grace, we have freedom. By grace doesn't mean that we can have whatever we want. It simply means that God has given us something we don't deserve. We have free will, but that doesn't mean we have a license to sin. As a Christian, who wants to change the world? We talked about this and we've heard it. And you can hear people as Christians say this, yes, I probably could do that, but there's some stuff I don't want inside of me at all because it's not beneficial. Paul writes in Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. We've gotten away from that, haven't we? We have really gotten away from that. We're not serving one another. And that is one of the things we're seeing our church begin to do with the food kitchen and trying to get the backpacks off the ground and the kids learning about missions, learning to do things. And we see that we need to make radical commitments. Radical means doing something that nobody else does. A lot of times we do things, why? Because everybody else is doing it, right? Radical means I'm not going to do what everybody else is doing. My mother used to tell me, and I thought I got real wise to her, she says, if everybody else jumped off the bridge and killed themselves, are you going to do it too? And I thought, no, I wouldn't. But then I realized what she was doing to me, so then the next time she said it, I said, yes, I would too. Because I wanted to do what everybody else wanted to do. The only time that you want to do that is when you're following Jesus Christ. I want to do what Jesus says. No idols. What is an idol? An idol is anything that you love more than God. I've had several of those. Musicians have a tendency to do that. They would rather play that than to worship God. They would rather do anything else. And when we put anything before God, then it becomes an idol, doesn't it? Whether it's what we wear, those types of things, it's anything. Anything. Boyfriend, girlfriend, it doesn't matter. If you put that person before God, then that person becomes an idol. And that is not something that God wants. Number six, as we look at it, if I can get to the other page. Value of a worship lifestyle. Why is this so important? We have standards, don't we? There are standards in school. Now, granted, sometimes we don't agree with all the standards. I had a hard time understanding why I had to take math classes. You know, what was so important about math? I have found out that math is one of the most important things. In fact, it is more important probably than any other class you can take. English, all of those, they're good classes. We need them. But in math, do you know that everything you do has math in it? Every step you take is mathematically calculated in the brain, so you know exactly how far to step. That's how important it is. If you watch, if you get on a treadmill and they're putting you with all those wires up there and they're reading all of this stuff, they can tell your rhythm of step. How does your brain know that unless it has calculated how far your foot is supposed to step out each time? That's how important math is. Everything that we do has math in it, doesn't it? For instance, if you're getting your driver's license, one of the questions on there is how far does it take for you to hit your brake running 55 miles an hour to stop a car? Mathematically, you have to figure that out, right? Math has everything in it. And so we see that it is important. But God has given us a standard. Jesus has set an example. Jesus has laid out his life, and it has become an open book so that it has become an example for us. It has become a lifestyle, and he has given us that lifestyle and shared that lifestyle with us and said, this is what you're supposed to do. We see that when we also, when we're talking about no other gods, and I really love this, the NIV took it and changed it a little bit of difference. And he says in 32:20, when Moses came down off the mountain and they were worshiping the calf, he says, and he took the calf, they made it and burned it in the fire, and then he grounded it into powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. That's how bad it was. That was his example. Get rid of it. Get it out of your life. So we get it out of our life, get rid of it, then we can lift that lifestyle up. And then finally, a higher standard. What should I do? Practically speaking, how do I apply this to my life? Begin to look at your habits. What are some of the habits that you have? The way you brush your teeth, the way you do this, the way you do that. Look at it and begin to look. And look and see how much spare time you have. Now look at yourself and ask yourself how to compare it to Scripture. How do you take your time? What we do won't come naturally. But when we are ready to make a commitment to God, is it going to be a radical decision? Is it going to be radical enough that it will change? Are we committed to God? Are we ready to let Him examine ourselves? This morning we took communion. As we took communion this morning, that is one of the things that we're supposed to do, is examine ourselves. But how many people really examined themselves before they took communion? So that's what we see. We live, we talk, we act, the movies we watch, all of those have got to change. And so the question becomes tonight, are you ready to commit to a holy lifestyle? As Paul put it, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's what he's called us to do. When we can do that, we can commit to a lifestyle of worship and holy actions. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this night that you've given us, these young people, as they have committed to this music, to sing and to share it, Father. Not only do we ask that you touch their hearts with it, Father, but as their hearts are changed, as their attitudes change towards the music, Father, they can also transcend that to us, and we can receive your message through music. We thank you for the scriptures that you've given us to look into and to know, so that we can commit ourselves, Father, to a holy lifestyle. We thank you for all of these things. We thank you for the privilege of coming together and worshiping here tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.